So as Pastor Nolan said, last week we kicked things off in the book of Luke. We have been in Acts, been going through Acts, and we're just kind of taking a break for the Christmas season. And before we start this morning, I'm going to recap just a little bit about what's happened in the beginning part of Luke. So we know that Zacharias, priest, was in the temple performing his priestly duties, and angel Gabriel shows up to him, and he says, you know, hey, listen, your wife is going to have a baby. It's a pretty big shocker because Elizabeth was barren. They were old in their years as well. They did not have any children. And see, the problem was Zechariah, he had some doubt in him. And because of his doubt, because of his unbelief, he was made mute. He was made silent. And he was told by the angel Gabriel, look, you're not going to be able to say a word. You're not going to be able to speak at all until these things that I'm telling you come to pass and come to be. So then, 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy, Gabriel shows up in Mary's hometown, which was Nazareth, a town in Galilee, about 75 miles north or so of Jerusalem. And Gabriel and Mary have this incredible conversation. Gabriel tells Mary, look, here's the deal. You are going to have the Son of the Most High. And Mary kind of asked the question, well, hold on just a minute. I don't understand this. How is that going to be? But Mary's question, we talked about this last week, her question wasn't in this form of unbelief. She just doesn't really know or understand how this is going to happen because she is a virgin. So Gabriel says to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. This is an incredible, just important verse for us. What we get from this is we know that Jesus, this is so important for us, we know that Jesus was born into this world. He was not born from this world. He is 100% God and 100% man. And it is so important for us to know that and understand that. So then, after Gabriel shares this news of Elizabeth's pregnancy with Mary, who was somehow related to Elizabeth, we don't know exactly how, Mary simply says in verse 38, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. So this morning we are going to pick up exactly where we left off last week. We're going to pick up in verse 39. And before we do that, I want to say there's some things in this text that we don't really know what's going on in terms of there's some questions that we might have. I know there's questions that I have when I read the first chapter of Luke, and they're not answered here. And that's completely okay. Some of those things that we might ask, at least I might ask, is when exactly was Mary's conception? I think that's a valid question. When was the exact time of Mary's conception? We also don't know if Mary was present at the time of the birth of John the Baptist. We know that she goes to visit Elizabeth. We'll see this in just a minute. In Elizabeth's 6 month of pregnancy, and she stays there for about 3 months. 7, 8, 9, that's 9. So we know she either left right before the birth of John the Baptist or right after. We don't know exactly that time frame. And we also don't know the exact moment that John the Baptist is filled with the Holy Spirit? These are just some questions that I have when I dig into this text. And I say all of that to say that if I have those questions, I'm sure at least somebody else in this room has those questions, but it's okay to have those questions. We kind of talked about that a little bit last week. We don't have the answer to them, and that's okay. We don't have to have the answers to those. So here we go. Verse 39 through 40 in the first chapter of Luke. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Now, we don't know where Elizabeth and Zechariah, we don't know the exact location of their home. We do know from talking last week that Mary traveled probably 75 miles or so south to visit Elizabeth. So it's, you know, it's like us going to the other side of Atlanta, maybe. So we can kind of see that. So Mary, just, she grabs her car keys, she kisses her parents goodbye, she throws deuce up to Joseph, she hops in her car, she drives down the road, she puts some push water in her car for the journey ahead of her, and she just goes on her merry way. But it doesn't really work that way, right? It just doesn't. You see, this journey that was ahead of Mary was a good 3 to 4 days worth of travel. That's a long way. And not only that, but remember, Mary's probably 12 and a half, 13, maybe 14 years old. Not only is it a long journey for her, it is a dangerous journey for her. But she has to have somebody to talk to. She needs that. Think about it. This angel just showed up to her and was like, here's the deal. You're going to be pregnant. And you're going to give birth to the Son of God. And not only that, he tells her, and on top of that, your relative who's barren and old in her years, she's pregnant as well. Mary needs someone to talk to. And in this moment, that means she needs to embark on this journey to visit Elizabeth. She certainly can't talk with her parents. She absolutely is not going to talk with Joseph right now. You see, all of us need someone to talk with. It's needed. No one in this room, including me, especially me, is immune to the ups and downs of life. You see, sometimes life gets messy. It does. Sometimes life just gets messy and we deal with struggles, and maybe it's problems at work, maybe it's with our teenage children, maybe it's with the loss of loved ones, maybe it's dealing with some depression, or the list just kind of goes on and on and on. We need someone to sit down and drink a cup of coffee with and talk with. Now, sometimes life feels sparkling clean, right? Sometimes life feels sparkling clean. We experience times of excitement and celebration. We saw that last week, the Brubakers, little child, the Woods, new baby boy. Incredible times of excitement, incredible times of celebration. Times where we see the Lord working in our lives. And we need to share those times with others as well. Just, it's important to have someone to talk with. Now, I know that if you don't have someone who disciples you, like personally, and if you're not personally discipling somebody else, it's one thing for me to say, hey, you need to do that thing, and then walk away from it. It's another thing if we as a local church, as a pastor, help you through that process. And that's what we want to do here. And one great place to start with that, get plugged into a life group. Get plugged into a life group. And if you don't know what life group you would fit in, come and find me. Come and find Pastor Nolan. We want to help you embark on that journey. And through that process of meeting people and growing in relationships with those people in those life groups, undoubtedly you will come across somebody who's willing to sit down with you and disciple you and help you through the ups and downs of life, as well as, most importantly, grow in your relationship with Jesus. It's so important for us to have that in our lives. So, Mary, we know that Mary arrives at the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And in the next 15 verses or so, what we are going to see is this joy that Elizabeth and Mary share together. See, they have experienced this blessing from the Lord. And the thing about that is, as a result of experiencing that, as a result of seeing the Lord work in their lives, the result is that they simply cannot keep quiet. They have to share that with someone. Picking up in verse 41. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And then Mary sings this song of praise. It says, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. And he has filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Now, not only do we see this incredible joy here among these women, we see John the Baptist leap in the womb of his mother, and obviously babies move around in their mother's womb, but this was not a normal leap. I mean, I'm talking like this is... Anybody jumped on a trampoline? Anybody been double bounced on a trampoline? That's what I'm talking about. Like, it's like not a normal leap, right? But not only can they not keep quiet because of their joy, we can't help but notice the humbleness that these two women have. Verse 43, Elizabeth says, "Why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Why me? In verse 48, we saw Mary saying, "For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." And you know, this humbleness and this joy that comes out from their experiencing the Lord in their lives, I cannot help but think how beautiful it is when someone comes to the point in their life when they realize the magnitude of God's grace. It's incredible. And they can't, you'll notice this, when somebody comes to realize, look, this is who I am, I'm dead in my sins, and this is who Jesus is, and not only this is who Jesus is, but this is what he has done for me. When people come to that point in their life and they say, you know what, I acknowledge the fact that you are the king of my life, they cannot keep quiet. And it's just a beautiful thing. When somebody understands, the Lord saved me from me. He saved us from ourselves. Romans 5, 6 through 8. "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." Now see, this season, it's time where we take some extra time to gather together with family members. Might have conversations with people that we don't normally talk with. Call them up. Wish them a Merry Christmas. Take the time to share this news right here with people as you come in contact with them this season. So important. One more thing before we move on. There's this comparison between Mary's song here and Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2. There's this comparison here. Now, Mary is not quoting scripture when she sings this, but we do know that there are some very strong similarities here. 1 Samuel 2, verse 1, Hannah says, "My heart exalts in the Lord." We see Mary say in her song of praise, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Hannah says, "There is none holy like the Lord." Mary says, "And holy is his name. The bowels of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. In verse 52, we see Mary say, He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. And then lastly, we see in Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel 2, verse 5, those who were full hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. We see in Mary's song in verse 53, He has filled the hungry with good things. The rich He has sent away empty. These are incredible similarities. And while we know that Mary's not quoting Scripture word for word here, it is very clear that she certainly has Scripture on her mind. She undoubtedly knows the stories of those that have come before her. And as she comes to this point where she can't help but to praise God in song, the thought of Scripture seems to just kind of flow off of her tongue. In Colossians 3:16 says, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. It just kind of goes back to the importance of having somebody in our life to help us study the Word. It's so important for us to seek the truth and wisdom in and throughout Scripture. Now, I'll tell you, for me personally, one thing that helps me in that is I know that throughout the week, I meet with a gentleman who's fairly a good bit older than me. We meet every Monday morning, 8 o'clock, same place, every week. And he asks me some really tough questions sometimes, and I give him permission to ask me some really tough questions sometimes, just to hold me accountable. And in my giving him permission to do that, I forfeit my right to be offended. But also, we study the Word together. And I know that throughout the week, at any given time, my phone's going to ring. And he's going to say, Hey, brother, how you doing? What have you been struggling with today? But you know what else he's going to ask? Hey, have you gotten into the Word today? And he's not going to stop at that question. If I answer yes, I know for a fact it's going to follow up. And he's going to say, Well, tell me what you studied. See, it helps. It helps. It helps me. Find somebody to help you in your walk with Jesus. Now, speaking of this joy that we see coming out in Mary and Elizabeth, keep in mind that the Scripture that we're reading today, that we're reading this morning, obviously happened well before the day of Pentecost, right? Jesus isn't born yet. So for us, things are a little different. Let me explain why. We know for those of us who are disciples of Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Like, we know that. We're promised that. Jesus says, like, I'm going to send you a helper. In Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Galatians 5:22. We see the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And see, when we are filled with the Spirit, I want us to take this thing away here. When we are filled with the Spirit, there is an action that follows that. There's an action that follows that. The joy comes from the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit moves us to share the love of Christ with others and to shout for joy and thanksgiving and sing praises to God. There's obviously some things that we need to do. Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So what's Paul saying there? If you want to get drunk, how do you do that? We can talk about that. It's okay. How do we do that? We drink, right? That's how somebody gets drunk. They drink. There's a physical action there. Now, I don't know what they're drinking. Wine or whatever. Drinking some alcoholic beverage. And in order for them to get drunk, they don't sit at a table and look at the glass. They pick the glass up and physically drink what's in it. Right? The physical action there. They're doing something. Paul says, don't do that physical action. Do this thing to be filled with the Spirit. It comes from studying this. That's what. See, there's this constant battle going on. Heard this football coach, and he would tell football players at least once a week after practice, you either get better or you get worse. You never stay the same. That's what he would say to his football players. Like, there's this constant battle going on. And we need to be fighting the good fight, which means we need to be studying this. Studying the Word. And as we do that, and as we are filled with the Spirit, without a doubt, joy will come flowing off of our tongues, and we won't be able to help but to share the good news of Jesus with the people we come in contact with. Now, 57 through 59. Now it came time for Elizabeth to give birth. She bore a son. And her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came and circumcised the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. Now, circumcision, it's obvious that Zechariah and Elizabeth are Jewish. Zechariah is a priest. So it makes complete sense that John would have been circumcised on the eighth day. And it's not incredibly uncommon for a son to have been named after his father. It's not really an uncommon thing. It would have especially made sense here. Elizabeth is barren. She was barren. She was old in her years. This would have been a great honor to Zechariah to have his son named after him. So, the neighbors and who is there? Relatives are there, and they say, well, look, he needs to be named Zechariah. And there's not malicious intent there. It just makes sense for them. But Elizabeth, however, she puts her foot down, as mothers can do. She's very clear that this would not be the case. We see in verses 60 through 64, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered, and immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. Three things that we get from this, I think. First is this: there's going to be times where relationships clash. It is a fact. There's times when relationships clash. There's times when family members are going to disagree about some things. And a lot of times these disagreements kind of revolve around things that don't really matter most of the time. Now, a lot of us are going to maybe do some traveling or have some family members come and gather around a table this Christmas season. I was at my grandparents yesterday. There were great-grandkids running around the house doing backflips off the couch and everything else. It was crazy. It was awesome. It was fun. But as you meet with family this Christmas season, as you meet with family throughout the year, as you gather together, there's some things that we're just better off leaving at the door. However, and this is important, there are times when issues arise within our families, even within our very close friends. There's times when issues arise and those issues need to be addressed. Out of love, obviously. And sometimes we're going to be the ones that need to lovingly address those issues, but sometimes, and this is hard, sometimes we're going to be the ones that get addressed. But it's out of love that we do those things. In either case, handle those issues with biblical wisdom and love and patience. And whatever you do, don't deviate from this. Second, what we see here, the Lord is faithful to keep his promises. He's faithful. He's always been faithful, and he will always be faithful. See what Gabriel says to Zechariah in verse 20, "And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? See, in verse 64, immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed. God is faithful to keep his promises. And third, the third thing that we see here, we see it in verses 65 through 66. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." When people experience and see the Lord's mighty hand at work, they cannot be quiet. See, everyone who witnessed this miracle of Zechariah regaining his speech understood that they had seen the Lord's hand at work, and they could not keep their mouth shut. They just couldn't do it. They couldn't help but to go throughout the hill country and to share that news with others. And lastly, when Zechariah speaks, we need to notice the first thing he talks about. See, Shannon and I have three amazing children. And I promise you, I assure you, when they were born, conversations revolved around them. They just did. We're proud parents. We're still proud parents. We're still proud parents. But think about Zechariah right here. Zechariah has not been able to speak for 9 months. For 9 months. And he doesn't have any children prior to John the Baptist. No children, unable to speak for 9 months. Luke 1:7, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in their years. And then you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words. And the first thing out of Zechariah's mouth is not about his son. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, you see, again, we see the Spirit, the Lord's hand at work, and somebody can't be quiet. And this Father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You see, he talks about his son, but he talks about Jesus first. He can't help it. He just can't help it. And we know that John the Baptist, when the child grew and became strong in spirit, he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Here you can come on up. You see, while Zechariah right here, Jesus isn't born yet, and Zechariah speaks of the redemption through Jesus as if it had already happened. We see that here. And he understood that the Lord had visited his people through the events that had unfolded in Elizabeth's conception, in Mary's conception, in the birth of his son, John. You see, Zechariah, what he sees here, literally, like he literally gets to experience and see God's plan starting to unfold before his very eyes. And he knew, believed, he had faith that his son would be the forerunner of the Most High, and that he would prepare the way for Jesus by telling others about salvation, forgiveness of their sins, redemption. That's why we celebrate Christmas. It's the birth of Jesus, who offers redemption. What's redemption? We think about what actually is redemption? The act of gaining possession of something in exchange for a payment. It's clearing a debt. Like wiping it away. It's clearing a debt. It's a payment made so all of mankind can be free from the bondage of sin. He rescues us. He rescued us from ourselves. Again, we said this last week. I think Lewis said it best. Son of man, the Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. Redemption. Now, there's a chance that somebody in this room right now, you might be like bursting at the seams right now. You've come to this point where you're like, you know what? I want some of that. And if you're at that point in that place in your life, as soon as this service is over, we're about to be done, as soon as this is over, find Pastor Nolan, find myself, find one of our elders. We want to talk with you about that. And share, I just want to encourage you, share this news with people this season. And like Pastor Nolan said, I pray that we don't get wrapped up in just the nastiness, the busyness that can come along with this season. Presents are okay. Knocking people over to get into the store on Black Friday is not okay. It is not. Right? It's not very loving. May we all keep our focus on our Savior and King Jesus this season. I invite you to to stand, and I'm going to pray real quick, and then as soon as we're done praying, I just invite you to join Heather as we sing. Father, thank you, Lord, for, again, for this time, for this day, Lord, for promises of your word, Father, for your son, Jesus, Lord, for the redemption that is offered. He paid a debt that we could not pay. Father, as we meet with family and friends this year, Father, as we get some last minute, maybe Christmas shopping done, Lord, as we go to office parties, Father, may your spirit overflow out of us so we just cannot keep quiet, Lord. May we just share the good news of the birth of your son, Jesus, with others. And may we not stop there, Father. Share the good news of what he's done for us and why we have to have that redemption. Lord, thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for this time. Thank you for these brothers and sisters that are here this morning. Be with those that are not here, Lord. There is a lot of just sickness that's going around, and people are traveling, Father. There's a lot going on. Protect them, watch over them. May everything that we do, Father, may it all bring you honor, may it all bring you glory, may it all bring you praise, Father. And may people come to the point in their life where they acknowledge the fact that your Son is King and that he is Savior. May they make this decision to follow him all the days of their life. It's in Jesus' name that I pray all of this. Amen.